Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to continue with something that has just been on my heart the last few months of the role of the church in the kingdom of God. Now, if we can get the church associated with the kingdom of God, then we can get the church relevant in the world. But the problem is we don't see the church as affiliated with the kingdom of God, then we miss it in its role for the world, and the world is diminishing the church. God sees His people, the church, as a glorious church. And as we look at how He sees us, we want to make sure that we have a view of the church the way God sees it. And we see the church oftentimes, come on, if we were honest, as less than glory. We don't see the church as glorious. You'll never be able to be fruitful and discover who you are until you have an identity in Christ. And that's getting saved. So here's the message today. I'm not talking to an unsaved people prayerfully, because this word would fall and wouldn't do any good. I'm talking to people who know Jesus, right? All right, so if I'm talking to people who are saved and know Jesus, then we have to understand we put our identity in Christ. Here's where oftentimes we miss the understanding. See, God's people in their corporate identity is falling short. Yeah. Now, you're saved, I get that. Your identity is in Christ. I've got to say this because this is the whole gist of the start of this. If your identity is in Christ, then Christ's identity to you will be seen in the church.
That's good.
We've got to talk about this because it's very, very important. And I couldn't do it in one sermon. It had to be several that I talk about this. And we make sure that we understand what's happening in the church. Our corporate identity as the body of Christ is falling so short. And God is drawing us to Him. But as He's drawn us to Him, He draws us to each other. And the sad part is, we don't want to be drawn to each other. But it's our drawing to each other that happens after you have been drawn to Him, and then we can be effective on this earth. See, God wants us to see the church the way He sees it. And the only possible way that that happens is with a relationship with Jesus and His people, which is seen through the church. Now, we've been talking about we as the body of the Lord Jesus. He is the head, we are the body. He is the head, we are the body. He is the head, we are the body of Jesus, the body of Christ. You've heard that and you've heard that, but you've got to get that in your heart and an understanding. And I believe that today you do, but I want to talk about it to a point to where we really get it. We get it. And I'll be talking about it next week so we really get it. And probably the next week so we really get it. See, as the head, Jesus is the head of the body, then He is the brain. He's the brain. The brain does some very unique things. They send involuntary signals to the body that keep things functioning, your kidneys, your organs. You don't say, hey, kidney, work. It just sometimes does. Hopefully most of the time. You don't tell your heart to beat. The head does. They involuntary signals that work because the head, the brain, sends them, and you don't really, as your own body, you don't have anything. Well, Jesus being the head, He sends involuntary signals to the church. His love, His mercy, His grace. You can't keep that from just enveloping you, because not one of us could really approach the throne of God without the involuntary signal of the head sending the grace and mercy for our actions that we have been less than obedient in. The things we have done, and He gives that involuntary. But He also sends voluntary signals. The brain does that too. He tells you to be in church. He tells you to be quiet in church. He tells you to say amen in church. And you have to understand, as that voluntary signal comes, you have to yield to that voluntary signal And you have to say, oh, okay, I'm yielding to that. I'm going to sit here. We help, as parents, come on, we help our kids with voluntary signals before the head is able to really speak it into their heart. Sometimes we speak it into their heart or other parts of their body. And if you've never seen my daughter on the front row or my son-in-law on the front row get up and walk out, they're sending voluntary signals. And I love that because we've got a lot of parents who will do that. And that's a voluntary signal that they understand that the child's not yielding to the voluntary signal they should be yielding to. So there's a consequence to not yielding. And then hopefully one day they can sit in church and pay attention. That's the prayer. And here's the thing. God wants you to yield to his voluntary signals, but you don't have to. There's involuntary signals he sent. You have nothing to do with it. But the voluntary signals are what right now is going to my mouth. I'm yielding to what he's telling me to say. I'm glad that we have voluntary signals and you can choose to do it or not. I'm glad that at times I can stop something from coming out of my mouth that was a signal that I shouldn't have received. See, there, because it was the wrong signal coming from the flesh and hit the brain. It was wrong thinking. And it'd be horrible if I couldn't control what was coming out of my mouth. Come on. It'd be horrible if you couldn't. And sometimes we don't. All right, so here's the thing. Today, if I had a topic with the church, I want to talk about being assembled. To be assembled. That's what God's been laying on my heart. See, there's a synergy, if you will, and I like that word. It's all parts working together will be more effective than everyone working independently to accomplish the same goal. So if everyone works together to accomplish the cause of Christ and his kingdom here on earth, that's synergy. But when we're trying to do that individually, and here's what's happened. The Christians are trying to operate without synergy. They're not coming together to accomplish a goal together. They're trying to do it individually. And I want you to know that it's a God principle to be assembled. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." And in verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That is the model of our staff meetings. We sit there and we brainstorm and we think of ways to motivate people to acts of love and good works. Now, here's the thing. That's not a word just for a staff of a church. That's the word for the church. What are we doing as a church to motivate each other into acts of love? All of us at times need to be motivated to love and do the right thing. I mean, love and doing good things is very, very integral to the kingdom of God. All right, the King James says not motivated, it says provoked. If you were a study of the King James growing up, you know the word provoke. Let people be provoked to acts of love and good works. Let them be provoked. That word has always kind of troubled me. I like motivate because it's softer. Provoke sometimes doesn't give you the same feeling as motivate, but I really like the word provoke in this scenario. Because if we're going to win a battle right now that is at war with the kingdom of God, we've got to remind each other to love each other. In fact, reminding sometimes isn't enough. Sometimes you got to provoke. Provoke someone to love them. I, with our kids when they were growing up, they had a tendency to sometimes be a little shy and not talk, not communicate. Well, right now I see this in our world all the time. We'll say whatever we want on social media or a text, but we won't say it face to face. And so we could get our kids when someone wasn't in our presence to say, thank you. Now look up and say thank you, and we could get them to do that. Say, I love you. I love you. And we could get them to do that. But as soon as we got them in front of someone and we'd say, okay, tell them thank you, they'd be like, thank you. What you need to know as a parent, there's a good place for provoking. Yeah. I'm going to provoke that child to look them in the face. And sometimes that was by going like that. Say, I love, come on, move your lips. And they're still not doing it. And then we walk out of their presence, and then we walk back into their presence. And however many times it took, they were going to be provoked to love and to do good works. You understand that as a parent, or hopefully you do. We're just in a parenting seminar. But that's a good thing, to be provoked into doing the right thing. Well, you know, the rest of your life as a Christian, there are times you need provoked to love, because it's real easy, even as a Christian, sometimes not to show love. It just is. And if you don't have people provoking you to it, then you might yield to the wrong plan. And the devil has a plan. And he wants you yielding to his plan. And he wants you to give up on the church and leave the assembled. He don't want you a part of this body. See, everything in our world going on is a battle for good and evil. You need to know that. Everything going on is a battle for good and evil. Which one will win? You can get your eyes so on everything else that is going on that you lose the understanding that the church is caught right in the middle of this battle. It always is. The church is always right in the middle of a battle. And what's happening is we're getting in battles that are taking our eyes off the real battle. This isn't in my notes, but I was thinking it and praying it, and I didn't know if I should say it or not, and I'm yielding right now. That's why I'm not saying it. No. There has been a battle for the last 2 years that we're kind of not talking about a lot, but there was a battle associated with COVID that wreaked havoc upon the assembled. And there for a month, when we didn't know what was going on, we didn't assemble. And I'm telling you, it was one of the most painful times of my life, because I knew the call and the understanding of the assembled. And that message started brewing in my heart 2 years ago, and we got back together, and I just said, listen, we'll try to operate on some of these guidelines and some of what's going on, but I'm not going to let the guidelines destroy the assembled. Praise the Lord, I yielded. I understand it's a controversial subject. I understand masks were highly controversial. I understand that the shot, if you will, was highly controversial. And it's controversial right here. And if you're not careful and you get on the battle, here's what happens. You divide the assembled. I've seen it happen time and time again. One takes this approach because they're so smart, and the other one takes this approach because they're so smart, and they're in direct opposition, and the fight is good and evil. What they don't understand is separating kingdom of God principles. Now, I'm not saying there's not a battle that needs to be fought, but there's a culture war going on that's a distraction, and I am sick and tired of it taking people out of the church. We're making the fight Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, socialism, communism versus capitalism, private ownership. We're making all these things, and the fight is still the same. It's good and evil. Which one will win? You can get your eyes so on everything else other than the church that everything else becomes your assembly. I'm going to assemble here. I'm going to assemble there. I'm going to assemble. And you're working on assemblies, but you're missing the assembly of the church. And you may be sitting here this morning and missing the assembly of the church because you don't really understand what the Bible has to say about it. These culture wars are real. I tell you that. But we are to defend God's morals, his values, his righteousness, his holiness, and his purity. And doing it God's way is the only option for good to win. Matthew 24:12. Jesus said, sin will be rampant in the last days, and the love of many will grow cold. I'm just telling you, It's hard to love someone who disagrees with you on a political stance without Jesus being preeminent in the lives of both. I've seen it tearing families apart. I've seen it right here in this church tearing people apart. And unless Jesus is in first place, I'm just telling you, your different views on what's going on in our world is going to destroy the assembled. And we got people looking for a church that will agree with them on their political stance, on this stance. And what I'm trying to do is I'm not trying to debate which side is right or wrong on the political stance. I'm saying the way you'll find it is Jesus. And you got to make Jesus preeminent. Hebrews 10, 25. I want to spend some time here just in this. It says we should not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. All right, we read that, and oftentimes I read it, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone. I read it, and I think about it like this. That's for us today. The fact is, though, it was written 2,000 years ago, and it was for them in that day. He is saying there's an importance to being loyal to the church, loyal to the head and loyal to the body. See, you got to get that. You can't just be loyal to the head and forsake the body. There's a loyal to the person of Jesus, and the person of Jesus that is not here on this earth is still the head, but his body is the church. And our loyalty has got to be to the church. Now, this passage is 2,000 years ago, but real quick, I want you to know this morning, quitting the church is nothing new. They were forsaking the assembling of themselves together during the early church that we look at and we as Christians glory in. Wow, that was awesome. I mean, can you imagine being a part of the first century church? It had to be glorious. And we talk like if we could have just lived like they did then. And I want to ask you, you mean people quitting by the droves? Because that's what they were doing then. You mean persecution unto death? Yeah, I'm telling you, that'd have been awesome. You being part of a culture that just ignores the church but will prosecute you for righteousness' sake, and without a great awakening, you'll be executed? That's the role of the church as we look at it the way it was 2,000 years ago. People have been quitting church for a long time. Now, they missed this principle of the importance of the assembled. People just go to church, and I want you to know, if you just go into church, it's a great step, and I'll get to that here in the end. If you just go into church, I'm not putting you down. I'm just going to church. That's a great step, but we are to be assembled, and we got to know what that means. Assembly, the word assembly in the Strong's dictionary means a complete collection. It means to fit parts together. I like that. So the assembled means that there's a reason we're together. I got to go on a little tangent here because the word assembly, as I'm talking about it, made me think of some things. And my wife enjoys shopping. I don't know about you, but maybe you're one of them that enjoys shopping. Or maybe you're me and you're like, hey, let's go shopping. And you're like, and you start hyperventilating. But I want to tell you that I do go. And we've got a system worked out, and she knows she's got to operate a little bit like me, and I've got to operate a little bit like her. And here's the thing. I do understand the importance of that. And for you married men, I just want you to know that there's no greater love will be shown to your wife than when you die to yourself and go shopping. There's just not. She'll see love like you've never been able to show her before. And I say that in all genuine because it's the closest I ever feel to death. So I just want. Yesterday, we were at a birthday party of one of my granddaughters yesterday morning. And I wasn't really thinking a lot about us joining the time at the party, but my belly kind of started hurting. And I was going to go with my wife shopping that afternoon. And I mean, it just hurt more and more, and my belly kept hurting. And finally, I just told her, I said, listen, I probably need to go home. And she was like, I'll take you home, honey. And she's so nice about it. I understand. And to come home to comfort me. And I said, well, I was going to go shopping with you, and we were going to go look for a new rug, and I had all these wonderful thoughts. And as I was going home, this was the fight I was thinking. I was like, I've never welcomed a bellyache, but this worked out pretty good today. Anyhow, I'm spending way too much time here. Shopping has changed a lot, hasn't it? I mean, really, there's still window shopping. You can go look at something in a window, but you can also look at it on Amazon. And I don't know if anybody here has ever ordered anything off Amazon, but I have. And when it gets here, have you ever got it here and it's like half the size that it looked in the picture? That has happened to me. The other thing is when you order it, it never seems to get here. If it has any parts on it, it never gets here looking like the picture. It comes in a box. And you're tearing it apart, and you're looking at it, and as you empty all the contents out, you're like, this is not what I ordered. But it is. You just remember the picture. I've actually got back on Amazon to make sure that was what I ordered. And I'm like, this is not looking anything like it. Well, you empty all the parts out, and I did this with the part that I ordered. And I just thought, this can't be that difficult. And as a man, I don't like directions. I just did not all men are like that, but I'm not real big on them. I can figure this out. I don't need anybody telling me. I saw the picture. And so I start putting it together. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but you get to the end and you got way more parts than what you have places to put them. And then something doesn't fit right like it was supposed to. And you put the wrong bar or the wrong leg that was supposed to be an arm on this. And anyway, you get to the end, you're like, good grief. And then you start looking for what? The manual. Am I the only one that's ever? Okay, good. Thanks, Jason. Anyway, so here's what happens. You look for this manual, and I had thrown it away because I had given up on it, walked away, came back to it, put it somewhere where I probably shouldn't have put it. My wife decided it wasn't needed to sit. And so anyway, it got thrown in the trash, whatever. I never found the manual. Here's what I hate when I get those things in the mail that I've ordered that I saw the big picture, but they sent me a bunch of parts. If I'd have read right at the beginning, it says, some assembly required. Anybody else hate that as much as me? I just don't like it. It's not fun. Well, what I want you to know, when you come to the end of yourself and you recognize the need for a manual to get the assembly right, come on, you need to hear what I'm saying, then you can get the picture that God has. And God has a picture of his church. And what I'm telling you, there's some assembly required. There's some assembled required. There's some assembled required. And we need to be assembled to see the picture that God gave the church. The church is the body of his son. And so when he looks at the church, you got to know what he's seeing. He's seeing the correct picture. He's seeing Jesus, and God wants us to see the church as he sees it. And he sees the church put together, and he sees the church put together without spot or wrinkle. Is that not amazing? God sees the big picture, and he says some assembly required. And what he's saying is, I need some of the assembled to be assembled so he can see the picture of the body. That's what he's wanting to see. He's wanting us to be assembled. Here's the thing, there's no way we can be assembled apart from the manual. We've got to have the Word of God so that we can stay assembled. And we've got to be seen as a glorious church. You know why? Because God sees us as a glorious church. And I was asking him this week, God, how can you see us as the glorious church? Because I know we're spotted. I know we're wrinkled. I know we're hurting. I know that we're defeated. I know that we're facing day in and day out, having to deal with other people. And he just said, I see Jesus, and Jesus is glorious. And that's what he told. And as he told me that, I thought, that's what I've got to see. I've just got to keep the head in mind all the time. And if I don't keep the head in mind, then when I look at the different parts of the body, I single them out. Don't single somebody out. Make sure that you see them as an integral part of the body. They are important. Now, I'm not saying there are times that you don't need to clip the nail on one finger. There are times that you've got to address the one. I get that, but you never separate it from the body. And I know I'm re-preaching, but the manual to being assembled is very clear. Ephesians 4, verse 11. I spend a lot of time on these verses when I'm just talking, but I don't always just teach on them. But Ephesians 4, 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, I understand that there's a fivefold ministry, that their job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And so let me just stop there for a second. It's not the fivefold's job to do all the work of the ministry. It's the fivefold job to equip the church to be the ones doing the ministry. And we've got to get that. Verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I want you to know today we have not arrived to this list. The church meetings continue to work in this area. Unity in our faith, knowledge of God's Son, maturing in the Lord, meeting the measurement of the full and complete standard of Christ. We have not individually arrived at this list, and we haven't arrived corporately to this list. I know that. We are so, please forgive me when I say this, and I said we, and I'm right there with you, are so immature. We demand out of God's people this first point here, unity of faith in verse 13. We demand unity of faith. We demand to be on the same page, but unity is where we're headed, not where we are. Now, I got to explain this. It's the goal. Now, I got to jump back in Ephesians 4 to verse 2 and 4, because before you ever get to Ephesians 4, 13, you've got to read verse 2 through 4. So we'll read that. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Say Spirit. United in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Say peace. Spirit and peace are the areas of unity. Yeah. What about faith? Verse 4 says, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. And then he starts talking about how we are to equip ourselves for the future so that we can one day be united in faith. Now, I want to explain this because it's very confusing, but if you can go with me, I'll get a little deeper. We should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. I'm not saying that we are going to arrive in unity of faith, but we can arrive in unity of the Spirit. When we were born again, when you got saved, there was a unity of the Spirit and a keeping of the bond of peace that will one day get us into the unity of faith. Now, we don't all believe the same way about everything. I don't know if you knew that or not. See, unity of faith would mean we believe everything exactly the same. And I guarantee you, you'd be shocked if I went around the room and I asked everyone, what are your thoughts about the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom and how many different views would we have? You'd be shocked at how many different views we would have. Right here. How many different views? When he's coming back? You'd be shocked at the diversity. Now, divine healing. If I went around and asked everybody's individual opinion on that, you'd be shocked at the response. Let me just give you another one right here at Christian Ministries about the diversity of gifts and how they're applied within the church. You'd be shocked at how many people have a different view than you might. Now, I have to be careful here because real quick, The enemy can take what I just said and say, yeah, that's right. I don't agree with nobody here. I'm out. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm telling you, unity of faith is not here yet. See, we're working towards that and we're striving to get there. But if you demand unity of faith, you'll be church hopping the rest of your life. Wow. And you'll be frustrated forever. Wow. This point is what has created denominations, interdenominations, independent churches that are truly independent, even sometimes independent of the head. Yeah. See, because I believe this way, and until you agree with me and we don't believe on the same thing, then we're going to be divided, and that's the enemy's tool. If we could get this, that's why the church is powerless to change our cities, our counties, our states, and our country, and eventually even our whole world. The church is going to remain powerless if we're going to try to get unity of faith. We've got it without getting unity of spirit. Are you hearing me? We've got to be unified in the Spirit of God. All because we haven't endured, we haven't endeavored, we haven't kept the unity of the Spirit with the bonding of peace it tells us to do in Ephesians 4:3. I'm not yelling peace, peace, peace to everybody. I'm talking to the body of Christ. We ought to be unified enough in the Spirit of God that we're not caught up on every little detail that separates us. But the enemy, boy, he's working hard here. We want the unity of the faith, but the only way to get there is to stay in the unity of the Spirit. None of us came to full stature in the Son of God just immediately once we got saved. Come on, I'm way more in tune with Jesus than I was 10 years ago. We're in a continual growth period in our life, prayerfully. Sometimes we grow stagnant. Sometimes we even drop back a little bit. But we're prayerfully all seeing more of Jesus in our life than we were at a previous point in our lives. Ephesians 4:14. Let's go on. I read through 13. 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sounded like the truth. It's a sad thing to me. How could you be in God's house for 30 years and be as immature as you are? Wow. Now, you say, who are you talking to? I don't know, but if shoe fits. How can we be 30 years in God's house and stay immature? But you just know it happens. Or people who don't get equipped at church, which is how you get equipped according to Ephesians 4. The manual says that. So the manual says that. We've got people trying to be the Lone Ranger and acting like they know the things of God better than those that are in the body. See, they're not even a part of the Lord Jesus' body, and yet they act like they know more than the people who are in it. Let me just tell you, Lone Ranger had Tonto. For those of you that don't even know what I'm talking about, YouTube it, you'll find. This is happening not only in the church, but it's in our world. See, there's a drawing. There's an attack, and I just want you to be aware of it. There's an attack right now on our world to get a part of something good that's actually drawing you away from the goodness of God in the body of Christ. And so, this is good. This is good. I get it's good, but you'll find real quick in no time you'll have a disagreement in what that's good in. What you've got to do is you can't forsake the assembly. We're listening way more to world info than we are God info that's coming from the fivefold ministry of the church. And we're getting equipped to do things in this world that are good. And we're forsaking the assembled. And you say, no, I'm not. I'm in church. All right, well, you got to hear me out here. When you're listening to the news and you pick the source, I'm not even getting into that. Because everybody has a different news source. So you're listening to the news, you're listening to politicians, professors, and I'm just telling you they are splitting us up. They're splitting the church up. Professors at college have been for years trying to split the assembled. I'm just telling you, I've been there. I've sat under their teaching, and they're skillful. It's demonic, church. And they're trying to tell you something that's good. You can write this down. You will have no unity anywhere that is worth anything without the unity of the Spirit coming from within the assembly of the believers, the church. You won't find it. There's no unity. Let's read on, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Our maturity in Jesus is not just being connected to the head, it's being connected to the body. The maturity is being hindered when people do not hear the head and set them where they are to be in the church. I mean, that's what this scripture is talking about. I need you, and you need me. Now look at the person on your left and right. You don't have to talk to them or nothing. Just look, just real quick. Okay, there you go. You need them, and they need you. Yeah. I want to end this sermon, and this isn't the start, so don't freak out. I'm almost done. But I got four things real quick that you need to know why you're in church, and you need to identify where you're at. Four stages to church life that I'm going to close with. Number one, the investigative stage. The Spirit leads you to a church, and here's what you should do. You should investigate. You should find out. You should be, if you will, a fruit inspector. You should investigate if that is where God would have you to be. Those who receive from me, not just from the pulpit, but on a daily basis here at Christian Ministries, are the ones who really know me, and they know if I am or am not pursuing Jesus. They also know when I get in the flesh, and they know when I'm operating in the Spirit. And prayerfully, I'm in the Spirit a lot more than I am the flesh. Jesus himself, it says in Scripture, I believe it's Mark 4, could do no mighty works in his hometown. You know, that was when he was the head and the body. He couldn't do any major work here. They only saw humanity. Boy, this is so powerful. Many people stay at this same stage their whole life, and they just live investigating the church. If you stay in this church, or you stay in church your whole life, and you stay in this stage of investigation, you'll always only forever see humanity. You'll see exactly what Jesus was seen by all the people in his hometown. They only saw him as the carpenter's son. And he couldn't do anything there. Why? Because the people saw humanity. They didn't see the body and the head of the Lord Jesus. If you stay, and I don't care what church it is, and you just keep investigating the rest of your life, and you stay in this stage, you'll always see humanity. Here's the second stage, the receiving stage. You realize that, hey, there's something here that I could get something from. And I think I want to receive, and I want to get equipped, and I want to set under the fivefold ministry, and I want to, if you will, I want to get the speck out of my eye. I know I've got some issues here, and I need this, and I need this. And I just want you to know this is a great stage. This is where people have got hurt in church, they've got hurt in life, and they come to the church, and the church loves them, and they feel that love, and they receive that love, and they sit here, and they keep receiving, and they keep receiving, and they're like, I love my church because I receive so much. Man, you got to hear this message. You got to hear this. You got to know this is the greatest church ever. I just tell you, I receive every time I come in, and I'm getting worked on. And people, they shake my hand. They say something to me, and it's just awesome there. I love you're in the receiving stage. Praise God. I love the receiving stage. I go to church to get. I'm going to get everything I can. I'm just going to get all that I can. Number three. The giving stage. This is a great stage. You're not here just to receive, but to give. Many think that they're here just to check it out and to receive something. But this is a whole different place. All right, I've been here long enough, and I have gotten, and I've received, and I'm healed in Jesus' name, and now I'm serving in the nursery. Now I'm serving in the welcome team. I'm serving in the coffee shop. We've got a chair team. We've got so many different teams. If you're like, well, I don't know where I can serve, talk to me. I'll tell you, there's a lot of places you can serve. Hopefully you'll be in your area of gifting. If not, work somewhere, and if you don't like it, we'll get you somewhere else. But in the giving stage, we are there to give. Here's how you can know if you're not in the giving stage. I went to church and no one shook my hand. Let me ask you this. How many hands did you shake? I expect that to be a bigger response. No one shook my hand. No one said anything to me. Who'd you say something to? Whose hand did you see, you're not in the giving stage. You just want to be a receiver. And so you're offended at the way the church treated you when you are the church. You just never got to the giving stage. So you're offended at everybody there. The great commandment of God is not that everyone should show you love. Oh, wait. God's command is, no, you got it wrong. It's not that everyone should show you love, but you should love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's command. But we don't ever get into the giving stage, so we mess this whole thing. See, we can't live thinking church is all about you, because it's just not always. And the second it's not, I don't want you running off. Get to the giving stage. Well, the church is so messed up. You are a mess. It's continually all about the church. And you're stuck in the first two stages. This third stage shows that you are needed in an integral part in the body. All right, number four and the last one. The glorious church. The glorious church. This is the stage that you learn to receive and to give. Some get stuck in the giving stage. Let me just say this, because the third stage is awesome, but there is churches that you have probably gone to, maybe even here, that you know people that all they're going to do is be a giver because they've already been in the receiving stage. And so all I have to give, and if you don't want what I give, I'm out of here. People leave church because I've seen it 100 times. People come in and they come straight to me and they tell me what all they're gifted in and that they want to give in those areas. And the next few weeks, if I don't use them in that area, they're gone. I've seen it 100 times. They only see church as a place where they can give of their talent. But what I'm telling you is the glorious church gets to a place where you can be a receiver and a giver. Come on. You can be what the call of God is on your life. And the only reason you investigate is to get in there and receive and give and make that area better. That's the glorious church. My prayer is that's Christian Ministries. I'm not saying we're perfect, but when people will see Jesus first, I'm telling you, we're perfect. Because perfection comes through Jesus. He makes the whole body, come on, fit together, it says, perfectly. Jesus makes the body fit together perfectly. And you need all the stages of the church to complete the church. We need people coming in here, checking us out, investigating it. We need people coming in and receiving. We need people coming in and giving. And then we need people coming in and continuing to investigate, continuing to receive, and continuing to give. Y'all get anything out of that this morning? Y'all stand with me today.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.